And he goes through a whole litany of these things in the entire chapter. I don't have the chance to go through them all, but read through the chapter and read what Job considered to be as being inconsonant with the covenants. Now, we also can find that application in our modern day living, find modern application. But the biggest thing to notice here is he goes through all these things and he says, if I did this thing wrong and that thing wrong and the other thing wrong, then this is going to be the result. Because the implication is, I know better. I know these things. And although I can maybe get away with some of them, I will never get over on Yahweh because He sees. And ultimately, that's what it's about. It's about my commitment to Him, whether men see it, whether I'm called to the carpet for it or not. Because ultimately, the one I'm trying to please and the one I'm trying to serve and the one that my commitment is dedicated to is Yahweh. In the same way that you should be a faithful husband or a faithful wife, not just when they see, but when they don't see. In the same way, we have to be faithful to Yahweh at all times, you see. David also understood what a covenant means. Go over to 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22, and we'll read beginning with verse 22. I always love to read about David because he was such a real man. You know, young men, if you want to know what a real man is like, go look at the history of David. Because you know what? Even in his sin, he learned something. He forgot when he sinned the way he did what a real man was. Because he committed a couple of heinous sins with his adultery and his murder. Okay? But David repented of that in a big way and he paid for it in a big way. David was a real man. Go learn what a real man is by reading about David. And you'll also learn about many of the qualities of the Messiah as well. 2 Samuel 22, verse 22. I'm in the wrong place. Just give me a minute here. He says, "For I have kept the ways of Yahweh, I have not acted wickedly against my Elohim. For all his ordinances were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless toward him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore Yahweh has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness before his eyes." And like I said, you know, David was not a man without sorrows, brethren. You know, like people today and without flaws. He was a flawed man. It's no question. No question. But he was also a man with, he was not a man without sorrows. Like people today, like us, he suffered a number of personal tragedies in his life. But far from pointing a finger at Yahweh and shaking his fist in the air and accusing Yahweh, David took it all like a man. He recognized that life is not easy and that it comes with its ups and downs. And he lived with that. And even though he underwent persecution, it's critical to understand here that he recognized that much of what he went through was his own doing. And he blamed himself, not Yahweh. And he remained committed to Yahweh. And Psalm 51 gives you a beautiful confession of that commitment that David had to Yahweh, even despite his sin, as he repented before Yahweh and showed him that he was going to remain committed to him, you see. Solomon, however, took a different approach, didn't he? He started out great, committing himself to Yahweh, and of course Solomon, David's son. He started out great, committing himself to Yahweh, but what happened? What happened? Like happened so many times, he allowed outside influences to cause him to lose his commitment and possibly even endanger his salvation. Yahweh knows. We won't make that judgment, that Solomon was a great man, and Yahweh alone knows. But he made it very difficult for himself. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. Just have a couple more verses here and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. "Now King Solomon loved many foreign women along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which Yahweh had said to the sons of Israel, 'You shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their Elohim.' Solomon held fast to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away." And then you have, you know, the defenders. "Well, you know, these were all just political marriages." Right. 700. 300 concubines. I'm sure that all he thought about was politics in the middle of all this. "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other Elohim." You know, that's one of the things we got to be careful, brethren. You know, we joke about that a bit. But the fact of the matter is, these people were human. And these people made mistakes. And we can't spiritualize things away. We have to take these things and learn from their example. Because these are similar things to what we go through, whether it's Job or David or Solomon or any of these people. Solomon, verse 4, "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other Elohim, and his heart was not wholly devoted," and there's the key, His heart was not wholly devoted to Yahweh his Elohim, as the heart of David his father had been. Now you know from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9, that's the Shema, right? We know that Yahweh requires complete devotion from us. In other words, complete commitment. Remember the sacrificial concept of the burnt offering? The Hebrew term for the burnt offering is the olah. And if you remember, the olah comes from a word, Allah, meaning to go up because of the smoke that rises up from the sacrifice. And this sacrifice was one that it was an entire animal. And the whole animal was consumed. The entire animal was consumed. It wasn't just pieces of it, as some of the other sacrifices were. But you would lay out the entire animal cut up on the altar, and the whole thing would be consumed, and the sweet savor would rise before Yahweh. Because that particular sacrifice, the olah, represented a complete consummation, a complete consecration of the worshiper who was bringing that sacrifice. It was a complete dedication of that person before Yahweh. That's what the concept of the burnt offering was. And that's what's reflected in Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9 in the Shema. To love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, soul, and mind, you see.